I did was blessed with the Sunday school lesson. I just had to wonder, how many of you are willing to be the voice of a prophet today? You know, Jonah had a hard calling to go and tell people that they were headed in a wrong direction and they needed to repent. This morning, each of us are still called to bring that message to the world around us. Do we also run from it? I don't know how many of you will spend a few nights in the belly of a whale. I don't think that likely probably won't happen, at least not in a physical way. Sometimes that happens in our conscience when we know we didn't do what we were called to do. Just let that as a challenge. We are called to be the voice of a prophet to this generation, and that's not an easy calling. It is not an easy calling. For a message, you may turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. I'd like to pull a text verse out of here, a little thought. I think we'll just read verses 16 to 24. And these verses stand somewhat in contrast to what you and I face today. But I believe that it's very possible that we will experience what we're talking about, or what Jesus is talking about here in these verses. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. I'd like to lift out the phrase at the end of verse 22, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He that endureth. I'd like to think of the quality of endurance this morning. Today we're not facing this kind of persecution, yet the battle is just as real. You know, we will keep praying for you all as youth, and you keep praying for us, because all the way through life, whether we were persecuted and that kind of a battle, or the ease of America's easy Christianity just kind of rubs off on us. And that's another whole battle that we face. To get complacent, like we talked about in our Sunday school lesson, to get complacent. Matthew 24, turn over just a few chapters here in Matthew. I believe this is more like what we're experiencing today. Matthew 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so we have persecution and people giving up because it's too hard that way. And we also have the contrast of life is too easy and sin is rampant and there seems to be no judge. And for that reason as well, people give up. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. Thinking of endurance, this is often a passage that we think of, and I believe has practical lessons for us. Hebrews 12, 1 through 7. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We will stop reading there. Endurance. He brings up a very good illustration here as running a race. It takes a lot of endurance to run a race. And there's two fears that a runner has, and I didn't think about this until I was reading someone who commented on this, and they said that there's two fears of a runner. One is they won't have enough strength to get to the finish line. And I think that's the one we think about. Will I be able to make it? Run out of strength before reaching the goal. The other one is to reach the finish line and have strength left over, because that is an indication that they were not running fast enough. They want to reach the line, get there, and yet be worn out because they gave all their energy and got there the fastest. And that gave a little different twist in my mind. You know, am I running life that way? Do I want to get to the end and have a lot more things? Well, I just took it easy, and I died with a full bank account. Or would I rather die with an empty bank account because I'm giving it all for God? Or whatever it is, I died in good health. Or I died in whatever, I don't know what area, you're tempted to sit back and take it easy. Or do we want to die worn out for God? I trust that we do. And I thought it was a good challenge for me in my thinking. There's quite a number of different words used for the word endurance, in the New Testament. I don't think we're going to take the time to go over them since we don't understand Greek. But you can turn with me to 2 Timothy 2. What are we called to endure? What are we called to endure? Seems like it comes up a number of times in Timothy where Paul is exhorting him to endurance. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What are we called to endure? What to endure? Number one, endure hardness. Hardness. You know, the Christian life is not easy. Life in itself is hard. But we need to endure it, right? Sometimes we're tempted when life gets difficult. God, I need change. What do I really need? I need endurance, right? Endurance. We live in a life where if something hurts, you fix it, in a world. And that's a good thing. And yet it teaches us very little tolerance, very little patience. If you don't like it, fix it, change it, buy a better one. That's just the way we think. But as life rolls on, I believe that we will run up against things that we can't change. We can't change the weather. We can't change certain things about our health. We can't change, thinking of Friday night and the discussion there, we can't change our spouse. We can't change some other relationships that we run into. What are we going to do about it? Endure. We're called to endurance. God, I need change. No, son, daughter, you need endurance. looking at the different definitions here, to be afflicted and to endure it, to stay under, to have fortitude, to persevere, take it patiently, to put up with, to bear. These are all different definitions of the different Greek words. And I believe that's what we're called to. We had there in Romans 12 the thought of patience. Run with patience. You know, we think we need things now, but many times we just need to have patience. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's not one that I had picked out, but it's one that's here, and so we'll talk about it a little bit. Not endure sound doctrine. There's people who think the gospel is boring. Spice church up a little bit. Bring in some entertainment. Bring in some skits. Yes, there are people who will not endure sound doctrine or the old-fashioned simplicity of the gospel. Let's do something more exciting. Keep reading. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou on all things, endure afflictions. That's the one I was after. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Endure afflictions. You know, there's a lot of afflictions that we face. There's physical affliction, sickness. And I don't necessarily believe that every sickness is of the devil. I think that there's things we face in a fallen world. I don't believe that we can ask God just to take everyone away or that we need deliverance, but we need to endure them. Afflictions, I believe, can be specific attacks from Satan. But we don't believe in a health and wealth gospel that God's going to take all of that away. He says, endure it. Endure it. I don't know what afflictions you're facing right now or have faced, but what do you do when the head gasket blows on a vehicle or a transmission starts slipping? Or some other tool or piece of machinery breaks. What do we do? What's our response? Are we willing to endure? I guess that's the question. And all of us inside scream, we don't like to endure. We don't like to put up with that. We want to change it. No, endure afflictions. Afflictions is something that hurts, that causes pain. We don't like pain. We don't like suffering. But we're called to endure. 2 Thessalonians, you can turn with me there. Chapter 1. Verse 4. So we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Two things, persecutions and tribulations, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. What are they enduring there? Persecution. And we don't know what it's like to endure persecution. Like I mentioned before, that might change. But today, life is easy. When people revile us or mock us for our faith, what is our response? Are we tempted to give up that thing that makes us different? Or will we hold it fast? You know, if we're going to endure, we're going to hold fast in spite of what it may cost us, in spite of the rejection, in spite of the hurt. We will keep doing what we know is right. Paul found it a glory. He found it beautiful to see that when they faced persecutions and tribulations, they were faithful. How could they maintain these? I think the answer is in verse 4. Patience and faith. Patience and faith are needed to endure persecution. It is not something that just happens. No, it is because we believe. And I'll mention this a little later. We believe the promises of God. It is through patience and faith that we can endure. Endure persecutions, endure tribulations. 1 Peter 2. If you look at another one, I believe there's 8 of these mentioned that we'll look at here. The fifth one here is in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when you be buffeted faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. I think we understand what he's telling us here. You know, there's times when we make mistakes or we make a bad choice and we suffer for it. And that is one thing, but it's another thing to do right and suffer for it. Have you done right and suffered for it? Very likely have. And that causes a certain amount of pain and grief. I'm not sure what all this word grief entails. But we were called to endure grief. Grief. Things that aren't fair. You know, maybe it was a business deal and we got taken across. Or maybe we were doing our best and we were still, and maybe we were misunderstood. Enduring grief. Things that aren't fair in life. And there's a lot of them. Suffering wrongfully, but bearing it patiently. Endurance. Can we put up with a false rumor? Or do we feel like we have to go out and straighten it out? You know, that happens from time to time. We hear something said about us that's not true. What are you supposed to do about it? Let it go or go straighten it out? I think sometimes we need to just let it go. Let it go. Truth will prove itself. We're called to endure grief. Back in Hebrews 12, one of the other things that was mentioned there was chastening. If ye endure chastening, verse 7, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? How many of you like spankings? Some of us have spent a long time since we got a physical spanking, but we didn't like them. But you know what? We needed to endure it. I remember the time when my dad was spanking me, and I think he struck once, and I dove under the bed and hid back against the wall. And I'll give you a hint that if you don't like spankings, don't try to do that. It's not going to get any easier if you do something like that. It's only going to get harder. No, if you endure chastening, it's because of God's love that he does that. And yet it hurts. We don't like when God spanks us. Today, if you're older, God is still spanking his sons. And I believe that God sends specific things into our lives for our correction. And probably most of you as Christians can say it. You've got a few spankings since you were a child. And you felt God's love and God's correction. We need to endure that. Just like Jonah got a big spanking, and it was only as he submitted himself that he could receive God's blessing again and grow. What else do we need to endure? Christian life is hard. There's many things to endure. In James chapter 1, we have another one, totally different than anything that we looked at so far. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Enduring temptation. You know, there's a lot of different temptations that come our way, and some are quick and fleeting, and only a very short time they come, and then they're gone. But there's other temptations that come and they stay a while. What do we do with temptations that are lasting? Can we endure? Can we say no? You know, we either have a choice to say no, and sometimes it's nice when a temptation comes and we face it and say no and it's gone. But it's really hard when the temptation comes back again and back again. We're called to endure. Endure temptation. Again and again, say no. Sometimes because of circumstances, we just can't run away. I believe one of the principles from Joseph taught in the Old Testament is to flee, to run. Turn the other way. But it's up to us to endure temptation. To say no again and again, victoriously for God. Last of all, 2 Timothy, back to Timothy, kind of sums them all up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 10. It says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Enduring all things. Will you say no to all sin? Will you patiently endure whatever affliction or persecution? You know, endurance isn't limited, as we looked at, to just one thing. It covers a broad variety of subjects. There's a lot of things that we must say no to. But will I say no to them all? Or will I say yes to one thing that will take me down? Enduring all things. I believe that is our goal and our desire. How do we endure? 1 Peter 1, I believe, has a key for us as far as how we can endure. Does endurance just happen? I don't believe so. I think there's a few keys. And I don't have a lot on this point, even though I believe that there's a lot more than what I thought of or wrote down. Verse 13. First Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you to be holy, so you be ye holy in all manner of conversation. What are the keys to endurance? I believe there's several mentioned here, even though I was planning to just lift out the one. Endurance is built on hope. Hope. Hope to the end, it says. There's a sense where I believe hope and its definition is hope is a promise that is not yet fulfilled. Faith in a promise that is not yet fulfilled. But we need to continue. And I believe that endurance sets its eyes on a goal. That's why I like the illustration of running a race, because it portrays life in so many ways. You know, we need to set our eyes on a goal. Where are we going? Are we willing to do everything we can to get there? Knowing that when we run the race and when we get to the end, we will receive a reward. And so we hope to the end. I believe that talks of endurance. Not giving up, not being distracted, but keeping our eyes focused on that goal. Endurance comes by knowing that we will win the prize unless we give up the race. I believe that endurance is only possible. There's some keys here: girding up the loins of our mind, being sober, not intoxicated. But I believe that it's also possible, only possible through dependence on God, who gives us strength to run the race. What are proper attitudes for endurance? Proper attitudes for endurance. I believe Romans 8:28 is a good one. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Thanking God for trials. You know, so many times we look at pain as our enemy and trials as something that stops us. We need to look at them as a stepping stone to Christian growth, as an opportunity to be strengthened. Thanking God for trials. Rejoicing in all things. You know, God gives us benefits that are exclusive to suffering. They're exclusively through suffering. Paul seems to be a champion in that. Rejoicing in his suffering. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And Paul seemed like he just loved to give himself for the church. What about you and I? Do we have the same joy? I believe that's an attitude that we need to have. It's easy to look around and say, well, why do I have to give this up when it seems like nobody else has to give up things like this? Maybe you're not tempted to think thoughts like that. You know, if we're thinking like that, we're going to soon quit whatever it was that we think is costing us more than anyone else. Thanking God for trials, I also had to think of Job. The Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How could Job endure through that? Only because he saw the hand of God in it. That's the only way he could endure it. He realized that God was in it, and so he didn't have to resist it. Joy. Affliction. Joyful endurance. That's an attitude that we need. Thankfulness. Joyfulness, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. That's in 1 Peter 1, verse 6. I believe that it's also right, as we're facing difficulties, to cry out to God for help. I don't believe that that's wrong at all. I believe that's one of the things that God wants us to do to help us to endure. God's right here with us. He knows what we're going through and he cares. Even though it's for our benefit, he wants us to call on him. Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. And yet in our prayers, how do we pray? We know the saying, do not pray for tasks equal to your strength, but for strength equal to your tasks. And I believe that's important. Sometimes we need to realize that God's goals for my life are different than what I think are good. Another one in Romans 12. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I believe that we overcome by doing good. And sometimes in endurance, we have to look, how can I serve God through this situation? As already mentioned, non-resistance. Do we use the opportunities that we have to share non-resistance? So many times, when it feels like someone is hurting me, I feel like I need to hurt them back. I feel like I need to get even. Is that our response, or do we instead overcome evil with good. A soft answer turneth away wrath. There's a lot of things that we're tested in. Do we endure or do we retaliate? There's a number of illustrations in nature. They tell me that a palm tree is different than most other trees. You know, as you go in desert places, one of the things you'll find is a palm tree. In places where no other trees can grow, a palm will. And there's a couple of characteristics about a palm tree that are different, that makes it different. Psalm 92, verse 12 says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." And he compares endurance, people who are going to be fat and flourishing even in old age. We think of old age as a time of weakness. And it is, in a sense, in a physical sense. But I believe spiritually, it can be a time of strength. How is that? He used the illustration of a palm tree. And from what I understand, a palm tree can endure abuse that other trees, that would kill other trees. And why is that? Well, most trees have bark, and just inside the bark, usually in the bark, the sap goes up and down. And if you knock that bark off, like happened to some of our willow trees, my dad's place growing up, I remember when a pickup truck was out of control and rolled down over the hill and hit the bark, hit one of the willow trees there, and half the bark came off the willow tree, and so half the tree died. Why? Because the bark was knocked off. They tell me that a palm tree is not this way. The life flows up the center of the tree, and so it can take all kind of beating on the outside of the tree, but the life flows up the center, and so it can stand tall and strong and be flourishing under abuse that other trees would have died under. And I believe that's interesting, but I believe there's some lessons for us in that. Another trait is that its roots can go down deep to draw out nourishment. And in difficulty, where do we go for nourishment? You know, if our roots are down deep in God, we will find strength to endure. One of the other things about a palm tree is that the longer it endures, the sweeter its fruit becomes. The longer it endures, the sweeter its fruit becomes. And I believe that's a beautiful illustration of how our lives can be. If we're willing to endure the hardness of life, there's a sweetness that comes out of it. Another illustration is the camel. I remember doing a study in school on the camel and all of the traits about a camel that makes it so tough and enduring. And the one we think about is that it can store water and go for a long time without water. It can also travel through extreme temperatures that would kill other animals and through extreme temperature changes like they experience in deserts, the hot in the day, and then some deserts have extreme cold at night. Camels can endure that. Why? Because they have an inward reserve. An inward reserve. What about my inward reserve? What can I handle? What does it take for me to get irritated? Camels have an inward reserve to help them withstand the desert experience. Well, that's a few from nature. There's many Bible examples also that talk about endurance. Elijah. You know, Elijah, he withstood those false prophets, and then they were killed. And then Jezebel hunted him. And there's a sense where Elijah went up and down in his emotions. And he did ask God if he could take his life, but in the end, he still stood for God. And I don't believe that the struggle was all wrong because he came out on top. But he's an example of endurance for us. We think of Daniel and the three Hebrews. They were taken captive to a strange land, and you think of the intense pressure that they were under to eat the king's meat, which would have defiled them according to the law. And they said no. They kept their commitment. Yes, the three Hebrews through the fiery furnace. Daniel in the lion's den. You know, we read those stories and they don't look very extreme because we've heard them many times over. But think about yourself facing a fiery furnace and making the choice. If you knew that your choice would cost you your life, would you still make a choice for that which is right? They did. But what about you and I? John the Baptist, you know, he stood against divorce and remarriage, and he wasn't afraid to tell Herod so. And he stood strong in that position, so much so that in the end it cost him his life. Was it really worth standing for that? Realizing that in the end it cost him his life. He was imprisoned for his stand on divorce and remarriage, and yet he remained faithful to his death. What a tremendous example that he set. You know, we're not facing the fiery furnace or the prison, but we face a little bit of ridicule. Can we stand? Are we willing to be different for our convictions? Paul, here in 2 Timothy, had some helpers. And in 2 Timothy 4, Paul talks about some of his help, some of his company, in verse 10. Well, verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." We have a group, and one of these lost out. Demas hath forsaken me. You know, there's many, many young people who made a decision for Christ, and they vowed to serve Christ to the end. But when a few short years, this present world, America and all it has to offer, snared, drug them away. Can we endure? Will we endure? There's the lure of the world's entertainment. There's the lure of the world's sports and fun. And it looks like a good time out there in the world. There's a lot of things that we're called to give up for the sake of the gospel. Is it worth it? Is it really worth it? You know, we haven't seen the end of all this. We haven't seen eternity yet. But you and I each day are making a choice, either to love this present world, to endure to the end, or to give it up. One of the things that I found interesting is you think about Jesus. Jesus in Luke chapter 4, he had his baptism and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And in Luke 4, it said that the Spirit led him very soon thereafter into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and there he was tested. He was tested extremely. And he came through that victorious, and in verse 14, it says that he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that from there, he began his ministry, and it was strength and power. And if you follow also the life of the believers in the New Testament, you realize that this is a pattern that the believers are filled with the Holy Ghost and then they're tested. And they go through time of testing. And if they fall, then they lose out. But if they're strong through temptation, the Holy Spirit comes and rests on them in power. So we see the filling of the Holy Spirit and then a testing and then the power. And that was kind of a new thought to me, but I believe that it's still true today. You know, the Holy Ghost fills us, but then we're tested in life. And I truly believe that if we receive it and we're true to Him, then He will continue to work in our lives. And it will be a working of power and demonstration. That happened in the Thessalonian church. You can go to 2 Thessalonians 1 where it talks about that. And how that they're tested, but then there's a glory that comes forth out of that only as they're faithful. It's also mentioned in 1 Peter 4. Well, in conclusion, Galatians 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's be faithful. Let's endure. I don't know what you're facing, but I just want you to remember that there will be a reward that will go way beyond the cost, what you have to give up today. Let's be faithful. Let's pray.